Wonderful. Tal, we're learning Gan Shalom. This is Reuven Levy. We're here in Chutz Shel Chesed Yeshiva, learning how to have Shalom Bayit. The wonderful words of Rav Shalom Arush. We're learning in this chapter 4, how to be a man. Learning that a person can't fulfill the advice in this book without being a man. Why not? A man means to give, to be a giver, not to be a receiver. A woman is a receiver, and a man is a giver. The advice in the book requires a person to give of himself. Never to criticize his wife. That means I have to give up on my own complaints, my own desires, what I think is best. I have to give up being right. I have to give up showing how wonderful my knowledge is. I have to give up on all those things. I have to give up on my preference for the colour of that we're going to paint the living room. Right? I have to give up. To give it to my wife. I have to be a giver. Shalom Bayit only works if I give. That's what Hashem wants from a man. Rabbi teaches that we need to put our wife in first place above everything in our life. To do that, I need to give. I need to put my wife above my own desires. I'd like to do something right now, but my wife needs me. I have to put her in first place, above myself. That means to give of myself. So Rav Arush says, I'm giving you wonderful advice in this book, but you should know, if you're not holding as a man, you won't be able to do it. It's a prerequisite to actually being able to fulfill the book. The advice in the book is very simple. Never criticize your wife, and always put her in first place above everything else. That's it, pretty much. But to do that, that's going to be difficult. Because to do that, you need to be a man. You need to be able to give and not to take. Not to be needy, that wants to satisfy his own desires. On page 103. V'od yish ladat, you should also know, she'laha'ir lo, she'laha'ir, a husband should know that to criticize is the result of a lack of emuna and of kafira, heresy. Why? And it's part of the way of kochi ba'atzem yadi, the strength and power of my own right hand. Because every criticism, Perusho shehu watzeh l'shanot dvarim shelo al pi Hashem. What it means is that the husband wants to change things which are not according to Hashem. Lo matai shehashem watzeh sheyishtanu, not when Hashem wants them. Shezeh telui ba'avoda shelo. What's he saying? He's saying here that when I criticize, I'm criticizing Hashem. Effectively, whenever I criticize or complain about anything, and in this case it happens to be my wife, but that's the example. Whenever I criticize or complain, I'm complaining about Hashem. Fundamentally, why? Because Hashem does everything. Hashem asa osa v'yaseh kolam asim. Hashem did, does, and will do all things. Einon milvado, there's only Hashem. Hashem is doing everything. If I'm not happy with something in the world, I'm not happy with Hashem. Hashem has many shlichim. One of them is my wife. It doesn't have to be my wife. It could be the bus driver. It could be my friend who sits next to me in yeshiva. It could be my boss. Whoever I'm not happy with means I'm not happy with Hashem. Because everything is from Hashem. Hashem is controlling all the cards. He's playing all of the players in the picture. And if I'm complaining and I'm trying to change it, I'm arguing against Hashem. I'm trying to do it myself against Hashem. Hashem says something and I change and say, no, I disagree, I'm doing it my way. So that's kafira, that's heresy. It's a lack of emunah to start with, that I don't believe and trust in Hashem. I don't believe, I don't see Hashem in this picture, I don't see Hashem is controlling things, I don't see Hashem is in charge here. And secondly, it's kafira, it's heresy, and I'm now going against him. If Hashem wants me to have burned dinner today, for my dinner, he wants me to have a burned pizza for dinner, that's why Hashem's going to have you. I'm going to have a burnt pizza. Right? If I start complaining, I can't believe this is burned, what's going on? It's a lack of emunah. It's also destroying my wife. And person not allowed to criticize his wife, ever. But it's also additionally, Rabbi Rashi is teaching us, it's a lack of emunah. Hashem is controlling everything. My job is to accept what Hashem does. And if I don't like it, I need to pray about it. I need to ask Hashem what's going on. I want to pray. I can pray for a change. Forcing the hour or forcing events through my own power is not the correct thing to do. It's against Hashem. Trying to go against what Hashem wants. Hashem wants it, it will happen. If I don't understand it, if I want something different, I need to pray for it. Aval adam shechai be'emunah, but a person who lives with emunah, minaheg bebayit b'li shum kochi batzim yadi, he acts in his home without any kochi batzim yadi, without any strength and power of my own hand. Ki hu yodea, because he knows emunah zot tefillah, he knows that emunah means tefillah, means prayer. V'kol ma she'ani rotzeh lishanot, and everything that I want to change, ani palel al zeh, I pray on it. V'shinui yikareh b'poel. And the change will happen in practice. Matayshe Hashem wants it, when Hashem wants it. If there's something that I don't like, the correct response of a Jew is to pray on it. It's not to try and change it with my own two hands. It's a very big statement, and it's a very difficult place to reach. That I trust Hashem that much. I mean, it's all shtuyot. Hashem is running the whole thing anyway. Whether or not I trust him, whether or not I believe him, whether or not I try and change it, is all irrelevant. I have no power, even if I think I do. It's not true. Reuben's got to come in. So, Rabbi Nachman, in one of his short stories, there's a story of a man in the forest.
Which man, story?
One of Rabbi Nachman's short stories. Doesn't have a name.
Okay.
Just a very short, short parable. Sorry, it's a parable. There's a man in a forest. He's walking through the forest and he sees suddenly there's a bear, angry bear, coming towards him. And he doesn't know what to do. And he hasn't got any weapon on him. He's got his stick. Stick that he's walking with. You can use this, Rabbi Yaakov. He's got a stick that's helping him walk. So what does he do?
No.
Abraham, can you show the door, please? Thank you. So what does he do? So he picks up the stick and he points it at the bear like a gun. He thinks maybe this will scare the bear. So he picks up his stick and he points it at the bear. And he yells out, "Bang!" And he hopes that maybe, what else am I going to do? The bear drops down dead. Falls on the floor dead. So the guy's all happy. I shot the bear. And he's really happy for himself. And with his stick, he shot the bear. He really thinks he shot the bear. He fell down dead. Bullet in his head. Must be, it was me. Yoffi. Well, he doesn't realize that there was a man standing behind him with a gun. Who saw everything. Right, he was too far away to call him, and he just picked up his gun and shot the bear that he saw coming towards him. He didn't, but the guy didn't see that, he's behind him. So now the guy thinks he's the one who killed the bear with his stick. Right, and that's the parable, end of the parable. Right, it's one of our inaccurate stories to tell us. We think that we go around in life doing stuff. We will convince ourselves, right, from that was a great business deal I closed, to the way I spoke to my wife today, that was great, or I gave a great cheer today, right? Whatever we think, and it's, but there's someone be standing behind us, the tzaddik, right? It's doing everything, Hashem, whatever you want, however you want to, but it's not me. But I don't know any better, and I think it's me. The truth is, it's not me. It's not me achieving anything. There's no me. I don't exist. I mean, right? Ainon bilvad milvado. There's nothing apart from Hashem in the world. Hashem is the only thing that exists in creation. We don't exist. Physically, this is all nonsense. This doesn't exist. This is made up. If you look in a microscope, there's nothing here. If you go down to the molecular level, to the cellular level, then from the cell into the molecule, and then from the molecule into the atom, and into the atom, there's nothing in there. It's empty. There's a bit of energy, and the energy is not even in the atom. It's somewhere else, right? There's nothing here. Ainon milvado. This doesn't even exist. This table doesn't. Nothing exists, even according to modern science. So it's all deep in art. It's all imaginations. We can't live like that. We have to live in the fact that this is real. But it doesn't mean that we shouldn't use that knowledge in its proper place to teach us that that we're nothing.
There is even a theory,
yeah,
that says that this is simply a holographic universe, and that we are simply a simulation in one massive.
Yeah, but that's by heretics. We don't listen to heretics. But right? That's like for the same people who say we all came from outer space and we're the children of little green men. Yoffi, it's true. It's nice, and no one can disprove it.
No, but the holographic idea would be that we're all just the idea of Hashem.
No, which right. is fine. Which
that's
is fine.
That's
which is
the point I was making.
Right, which is true because they. Our sages say, don't ask what is the place that, don't ask where in the world is the place of Hashem. Hashem is the place of the world. Right? The world is within Hashem. We're all just part of Hashem. Right? This is all, right?
That's the point of the whole universe.
Yofi. Okay, so then that's fine. It's not heretical. They have to stay. Baruch Hashem. Yofi. Okay. So a true Jew that's living by Emunah doesn't try and change things with his own power. What does a power mean? Power means either physical power, or throwing my weight around, or through the force of my strong voice says, you do it now, and they do it. That's cocky, that's in Yadi, as much as taking someone by the ear and lifting them, right? Just using a different part of my ability to get what I want, right? So shouting, threats, implied threats, bribes. It's all cocky about semyadi. If you do this, I'll give you, you'll get pocket money, and if you don't, you won't. It's all cocky about semyadi. It's taking Hashem out of the picture, and I'm thinking that I'm causing this to happen. I'm doing it through my own power, my own influence, my own whatever. It's shtuyot, it's nonsense, it's heresy. Right? It's giving myself reality and an existence. And Hashem says, you know what, Tov, if you want to Mida Keneged Mida, I'll let you believe it. So when I shout at my kid and tell him to do something and they move, Tov, and I think that it was me. And the worst punishment for me is that I think it was me. I now believe that through my own power, I achieve stuff. Tov, you believe you live by it, then you live by it. Right? They say that about astrology. Right? When Hashem took Abraham outside the stars to show him that he was outside astrology, because astrology has truth in it, right? And Abraham saw that through the stars he wasn't going to have any children, and that was correct 100% through the stars, but you're above the stars, you're not held by those. So one of the things they say is that the consequence, not a punishment, the consequence of a person who believes in astrology is that they're stuck with that astrology. They can't come outside it. Once you believe it, that's it, you're stuck with it. Right, you believe, you're held according to what you believe. Mida Keneged Mida, that's what you want to go with. That's what you want to go with.
Matrix.
Same true with possibly one explanation. It's not the only explanation, but one explanation about Ayin Ra, evil eye, But if you believe in the evil eye, it has power over you. And if you don't believe in it, you're not. It has no power over you. Right? We're held according to what we believe in. A person who believes that tefillah, prayer works. Prayer works. A person who doesn't believe it doesn't work. It's just like Hashem saying, wherever you want, you choose. You choose your playing field. It all works. Right? When Moshe hit the rock and the water came out, instead of speaking to it, the water still came out. If you want to do that way, we can also do that way. Not Hashem's way, it's not what I want. Prayer and speaking to the rock is what I wanted to teach you. But if you don't want to do that, you don't want to go down that route, or you can't, for whatever reason. So, the other way also works. There's something called Derech HaTeva, nature. That also works. You shout at a kid, he moves. Right? That also works.
But if you believe in nature, then nature will act, such as earthquakes.
Yeah, Yofi. So what are we seeing here? So we're seeing that in the Shalom Bayit context, that a man also has that test. The test of Hashem versus nature, of Amunah, effectively, in the Shalom Bayit test is, am I going to control my house through Kochi Ba'atzen Yadi, which is against Amunah and against Hashem and heretical to an extent? Or am I going to control my house through Amunah, which means really that I'm not controlling anything, right? You have to change the parameters. I'm not controlling anything. Right? If I think I'm controlling anything, I'm already in the wrong ballgame, right? I have to live my life according to Amunah. So, okay, my house happens to be not functioning how I would like it to function. Yofi, welcome to the world. The world doesn't function how I would like to function either. Right? And my job is to accept it, to pray on what I need to pray on if I want to see changes. I need to pray on them, ask Hashem to change them. And to accept that that's the way it is.
Yeah. Can't you just talk about it with your wife, how you want? Your side, your feelings, your perspective.
So, I can certainly do that. I can certainly talk. To have a conversations and communication is key. It's obviously key to any relationship. But here we're talking really about those things that I don't like. Meaning, there's a problem. There's a problem that I want to change. Now, I can talk to my wife and say, let's change this problem that you're doing. But I fall into the problem of criticizing. Whenever I tell my wife she's doing something that I don't like, I'm not acting in the best way.
But you can communicate without criticizing.
It's possible, in theory. Depends what the practice is. Depends what the practice is. Give me an example, and you'll see that it's almost not possible in practice. For example, she does fill in the blank.
You don't do that. You say, I like when the house is clean because it makes it easier to find things.
Right, Yofi. I'm your wife. I'm your wife. Yeah, I hear. I'm your wife. You come up to me and say, my darling, I like it when the house is clean and then I can find things. You know what she's going to do? She's going to jump down your throat. You're telling me it's dirty? You know how long I slave over this place? You know what I do all day? Yeah, but I'm only just saying I like it when it's clean. Doesn't? She knows.
100%.
Even though I'm trying and it's the best way of trying to do, in practice it doesn't work. What's Rav Arish say? Rav Arish says, it's still a criticism, even if it's a veiled criticism. Still a criticism. It's an implied criticism, and the criticism is only an implication, right? Which is better, much better than going out and saying straight off, why is this place a mess, or even worse. However, why is Hashem doing it? Hashem is giving me a messy home right now for me to learn something. Not for me to teach my wife how to be a good wife. That's not my role. She's not in this world for me to teach her how to do her job. Right?
So you don't communicate with her at all?
Yeah, you communicate, but not in this. But not in terms of telling her to tidy the house. I may, just I'm thinking now off the top of my head, offer to help. Can I help tidy the house? Will that help
she
you?
Will
that help you?
Take this criticism.
She could. That's why I'm saying I'm only offering it a suggestion. I'm not saying it's definitely good advice. It depends where it comes from. If it comes from a genuine desire to help, you're free. If it comes from any other place, a woman has been at. She knows exactly where you're coming from before you even started. Right? Don't try. She's not like your chavuta that you can say something to and he's like, oh, okay, yeah, fine, whatever. Right?
I'm saying don't communicate.
You have to communicate, but you can't communicate anything that you're upset. You can't communicate the fact that you're unhappy with her. If you are unhappy with her, that's the bit you can't communicate. You can communicate everything else, but you have to remove the fact that I'm upset with you. Because, first of all, Rav Arash teaches that it's just a mirror. You're looking in the mirror. Hashem is causing. So you're blaming the mirror and not working on myself. The house is a mess. It's a message for me. If I tell my wife to clean up this house and she listens to me and she goes, you're right, it's a mess. I've just messed up on my whole tikkun that Hashem was trying to teach me something. Hashem is the concept of marriage is there for the man. A woman doesn't need to get married. There's no mitzvah for a woman to get married. Arizal says she's not down here to fix anything. She's only here to help the man. Anything, any issues within the marriage, within the home, is for the man to work on. It's a tikkun for me. Shem didn't bring her down into the world to teach her how to keep a tidy home. But he brought her into the world to teach me...
To pick up my socks.
To pick up my socks, whatever it is that I need to work on, being forgiving, on accepting, on putting more effort in, on looking after her, whatever it is that I need to learn. If I'm not picking up my messages and I'm instead looking at what she needs to change, I'm missing the whole picture. That's the whole paradigm of what Arish teaches in Shalom Bayit is. It's not about her at all. It's only about you.
So in this situation, how do you communicate your thoughts?
I communicate my thoughts in the field, for a start. Hashem, I'm really... Because I'm upset. It's not that I have a thought, a random thought. Oh, it'd be nice if this place was tidy. I'd be able to find things. It's not that simple. It's, I'm angry. I'm upset. Why isn't this tidy? Right? It's those thoughts which are the problem. I need to take those thoughts out to the field. To Hashem, what's going on here? Why is my house a mess? Why am I upset with my wife? Right? Why do I want to be very critical of her? And I do. This is not going to just come. I'm not going to be the gadol ador, the rabbi, who just walks in and, my darling wife, let me explain to you about housework. It's not going to happen like that. I'm only going to notice it because I'm going to get more and more angry and I'm going to leave it go the first time. The place is a mess. Oh, Tom, she had a hard day. I'm not going to say nothing. Second time, oh, maybe she'll clean it up tomorrow. Third day, she doesn't clean it up. I'm fuming now. I've left it for 3 days. I've sat on my mousha. Now, enough is enough already. Right? It's not... These are things are going to come up in a way of... strength, power, and emotion. Because I'm going to have a test to work on. It's not going to be simple, right? We're, otherwise, there's no test. If it's easy and everyone can just get along, we'll just communicate, and I'll just tell you, and you'll tell me, and we'll be fine. Then we wouldn't need books like this, and there wouldn't be divorce courts, and there wouldn't be all the shtuyot in the world that there is. But it's not like that, right? Hashem Dafka makes it that He pushes us. And things creep up on us that we don't even notice. And they'll blow up into a situation that I thought was very simple. I was just asking you, but when you put on the wash, can you just wash my shirt? I need it for Shabbos. Right? That's all I said. And suddenly, what did I say? World War III just broke out. No, hold on. Revise. I only wanted the shirt. Right? Like, and now I'm public enemy number one. Asking for a shirt just the next time you put the wash in. Oh, the next time I put the wash in? How about you go put, right? And it's turned into the whole kind of, right? Shalom Bayit is deliberately a difficult task. Because that's the main place where a man rectifies himself.
So you don't say anything.
I need to know what's going on. I can't, if I jump in, and it is jumping in, by saying something without having thought a lot, a lot, then I'm jumping in blind. I have no idea what I'm about to say here or what I'm about to do. And the can of it's all going to blow up. Right? I have no idea. If I go to the field, I think about it, and I speak to Hashem, what's going on here? Why is my house a mess? That's meant to be a reflection of me. I'm tidy. That's why it upsets me, because I'm the tidy guy. And that's why, I understand is this is a reflection of me. What's going on? And from that starting position, I need to get to a resolution. I need Hashem to show me what's going on here. When he shows me, everything's going to be clear, and everything's going to be fine. My wife is going to be completely out of the picture. Rabbi Arash writes very clearly in a number of places in this book, once you go through that process and you solve it in the field, you're going to come back and your house is going to be tidy. You're not going to say a word to your wife. You're not going to have to say a word to your wife. She's just going to do it of herself. Why? Because I've fixed the problem. I fixed the problem in me. When I realize what the problem is in me and I fix it, I'm now shining a full 100-watt bulb. And it's not a deficient light anymore. And the deficiency that was missing in the light I was shining on my wife was the fact that she didn't have the will, the desire, the energy to clean up. I just haven't got it in me. I can't do it. She just can't do it. And then once I change myself, that little flick that switch, make that change, do what it is that Hashem wants me to do, make teshuva on what I didn't make teshuva on, whatever it is that Hashem wants me to do. Now that thing is fixed. And I'm now shining that light that was missing. She wakes up in the morning, you know what, I think that this place needs tidying up. Everything gets fixed. Because she's the mirror that Hashem is using. She's the shaliach in the mirror that Hashem is using to teach me what I need to work on. So I don't need to criticize her. I don't need to communicate negative thoughts to her. Things that are bothering me about her, about how the house is running. Right? All of that. The place where it should be is between me and Hashem. Hashem, what's going on? What am I doing wrong here? That this isn't working correctly. If I'm giving everything I need to give to my wife and I'm acting correctly, then the problem doesn't exist. So Hashem will continue tomorrow.